Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll go ahead and read verse 8 down to verse 17. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis 9 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. And we thank you for this another opportunity to assemble together. We thank you for your precious word. And I just pray tonight, God, that you would once again bless the preaching of thy word. Use me as that instrument in your hand to bring forth your truths. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The life of Noah, Wednesday night, where we've been studying the life of Noah. And we've studied so much, and it's been such a great study to be able to get some of the insight into humanity and how God dealt with humanity. We studied the pre-flood civilization to start with and everything that was taking place on planet Earth with humanity that God had created through Adam and Eve and their seed. But then we also found that after God judged that pre-flood civilization, and now we find that we're in a post-flood civilization. And God meets with Noah to bless and to instruct him on the new world. And so now Noah is who God established and who God saved by grace to be able to start all over again. And it was somewhat like the earth and Adam and Eve, as God created it for Adam and Eve. And now we find there's a new world, and God has now saved Noah and his family to start all over again. And so we've been studying that. He instructs them on the new world. We have a new atmosphere. The things are a little bit different. They had not rained on the earth before the flood, and now we find that there's going to be a regular raining, and that's how the ground would find the moisture. And so that would change. Now, I believe that changed a lot of things. That changed the longevity of man on the earth. That the earth is now cursed. And so a lot of things took place with that. We've studied some of that. We've studied the idea that man's supremacy over animals. That was before the flood. That was going to be after the flood. And so as long as man's on the earth, man's supremacy over animals. Meat was introduced into man's diet. Before the flood, man did not eat meat. They were vegetarian. There was enough nutrients in the vegetables and everything that they had. That's what God, the animals were not created to kill one another. They were not predators. There was not carnivores. But now we find after the flood, there are. And so meat was introduced into man's diet. We've also studied that man is to be governed by man. Last Wednesday night, this is what we studied. Is concerning this new world, and it was to be from the beginning till the end, until God would destroy the earth. The next time would be a final destruction of the earth and humanity, and that would be by fire at the very end. But man is to be governed by man. God would not govern man from heaven. He would no longer come to walk upon the face of the earth with man as he did with Adam and Eve and converse with them. That would not be how God would establish it, but man is to be governed by man according to God's commandments. Okay, that's how it was begin. That's how he was presenting it to Noah. That's how humanity had started once again. And we can all link ourselves back to Noah. And that's exactly how God wanted it to continue on the face of the earth. Okay, now things have changed drastically and they're continuing to change. And things will continue to get worse and worse even in this New Testament church age, going opposite the laws of God and going opposite the teachings of Christ. And that's why you hear of the Antichrist movement. That's why the Bible reveals it as Antichrist, not anti-religion, but anti what Christ established, what Christ taught. And what Christ taught is exactly what God commissioned Noah and humanity on how to live on planet Earth. Okay? And so all that came together. So anyway, so last week we studied man is to be governed by man according to God's commandments or God's law, God's word. Well, tonight as we just read this, we find it's God's covenant with Noah. God's covenant with Noah. And God's covenant with Noah will also affect you and I. And whether you realize it or not, if you do not realize it, then tonight is going to be even an extra blessing to you because you're going to be realizing some things that God had put in place for all humanity until he destroys the earth for the final time with fire. So God's covenant with Noah. Now imagine, if you will, the things that Noah and his family went through. Imagine the trauma that his family experienced. And realize that we believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible. This is exactly what it was. The human race had been destroyed. Now, would that not be a traumatic experience for anybody who survived? I mean, we have our soldiers coming back from Afghanistan and coming back from the war, and after every war, there has been what they have called now the PTSD, the post-traumatic stress disorders. And as I researched that a little bit, I guess there's over 7 million cases of that in the United States. And it's a real thing. It's how people have been affected by traumatic experiences. If you was to wake up tomorrow and everything was gone, it would be a very traumatic thing. Can you realize, understanding here, now Noah and his family, of course, they had been living separated lives anyway. They were the only ones that were living as God would have them to live on planet Earth when God destroyed the earth. Amen? And by grace, God saved them through the ark. But we find here that the human race has been destroyed. Everything on earth was gone. Now, you stop and think about that, you think, well, that's some kind of a horror story or a movie that you're watching there, you know, and they wake up and everyone's dead and everything's gone. No, this is what the Bible records concerning this new world that we continue to live in today with the very same covenants that God made. Everything on earth was gone. There's no sign that man had ever occupied planet Earth. We don't know how advanced they were. We know that they had almost 1,700 years of reproduction before the flood. Now, if you go back even to the 17th century since Christ and look at all that man had been able to produce and what he had done on the earth, well, they had almost 1,700 years, and everything that man had invented, we don't know where they were at that time. We don't know what kind of technology they would have had. We don't know any of that because there's no recording of that. Because every sign, everything that man had done with his hands up to that point was gone. Everything on earth was gone. No sign that man had ever occupied this planet. For 1 year and 10 days, Noah and his family were confined to an ark. Talk about claustrophobia, amen? A year and 10 days. Not with electricity. no running water. Who knows what kind of conditions at all that was taking place, whether God had put the animals into a deep sleep or whether they were all continuing to, you know, eat and feed and everything that goes along with that and all the smells that go along with that. The Bible doesn't tell us about all of those little things that would have affected the lives of Noah's family. He did say that they were there to keep seed alive. And so we do know that they had some responsibilities in keeping the seed alive on, even on the ark. But we also know that they were on the ark for a year and 10 days. We took a cruise, and we've taken seven-day cruises. We usually do this so every 5 years on our anniversary, and the seven-day cruises, you know, are a lot of fun. We did an 11-day cruise, and I'm thinking, get me off this ship, you know. That was too long. I'm ready to get on, and even though we had excursions and things, I'm ready to get back home to my bed. I'm ready to live life like we're used to living life, and, you know, all this food and all this can only go so far. And I was not ready to continue that cruise after that period of time. But I'm sure this was not like a cruise, but they were confined for a year and 10 days. What an experience. Now, let's stop and think about that. I mean, this is realizing. This is what Noah and his family went through. Now, God tells them to come off the ship. He tells them to leave the ark. As they're leaving the ark, now they have the fear of knowing of God's judgment. They look around, they see what God can do. No man is alive, no animal outside of what was in the ark. Everything on earth had changed. It was a new planet, pretty much from what they were used to. They had the fear of knowing of God's power and God's judgment upon sin. They knew why he did it, because of man's sin. And in their hearts, they're thinking, and we're sinners. We might experience this again because we're sinners. Our children might have to go through the very same thing again because they're sinners. So post-traumatic stress disorder possibly started with Noah and his family. Noah and his family would need this covenant. Every Christian, every one who believes in God has a need of this covenant, has had a need of this covenant ever since. Throughout the whole Old Testament, they had a need of understanding the covenant that God had made with humanity. From Christ and this New Testament church age that we live in, can I tell you that we have need to understand this covenant that God made with Noah. First of all, and that's what we're looking at tonight, that's what we've read here this evening. First of all, they needed to know that it was God's unconditional covenant. It was given to them by a God who cannot lie. When you understand God promises something or gives you an unconditional promise or makes an unconditional covenant with you because of who it was that makes the covenant, who it was that made the promise, you can trust in it. You can have faith in it. You can know that if God says it's going to take place, it's going to take place. They needed to know that it was God's unconditional covenant. Matter of fact, God knew that. And so look in verse 8, he says, and God spake. He did not send someone else. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a letter. The Bible says, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him. God came down personally, and God spoke to Noah and his family after they have now gotten off the ark, after they are experiencing, looking around, it's a new world, it's a new earth, there's nothing, no trace of humanity, there's nothing that shows that man was ever on planet earth, and they realize the power and the judgment of God. In verse 9 it says, and I, he says, behold, I establish my covenant with you. God says he knew that they needed to know that it was God who had made this covenant. It was God who is making this promise. And so he says, Noah, listen to me. I'm speaking to you. It's I. Behold, it's I. He says, behold, listen to me. You need this. Understand who it is that's speaking to. Understand who it is that has given us the Word of God. Understand what this Bible represents. Understand this. Understand who it was and who it is that has preserved it for this 21st century church. It's God. In verse 11, again he says, and I will establish my covenant. Over again he says, I will establish my covenant. In verse 12, he says, goes on down, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make. I will establish it. I will make it. It's my covenant with you. In verse 15, he says this, and I will remember my covenant. I will never, you'll never have to think about God has forgotten me. You'll never have to wonder whether or not God remembers the promise that he made. You don't have to think about that. You don't have to fear that. You don't have to fear of God's failure to remember. Verse 17, and God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established. Again, I have, the one that they knew destroyed everything, the one that they knew that had the power to preserve them through that storm, has now made a promise, a covenant with them. An unconditional covenant. Now, we look in the Scriptures, and you're going to find that there are conditional covenants. God made conditional covenants with Adam. He made conditional covenants with Abraham. He's made conditional covenants throughout the Scriptures. You'll find God making conditional covenant in that he says, if you do this, then I will do this. If you fail to do this, then I will do this. But if you'll do what I tell you to do, then you can claim whatever promise or whatever covenant that I'm giving, making with you. That is conditional. Unconditional covenants are, I'm going to do it. You can just trust in it. If it's conditional, we need to meet those conditions. Throughout the Scriptures, but even the New Testament's the same thing, but John chapter 15, as Jesus was, we just went a series on this, producing fruit. He wants us to produce fruit. He wants us to serve him and do a work that he can use. Use your life doing things that God can work through for his purpose. In doing that, he makes this covenant or this promise, this unconditional or this conditional covenant or promise. He says this, if, condition, it's a conditional promise. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, do you believe God can do anything and everything? And the answer should be yes. Do you believe you could ask God to do something that he would not be able to do? And the answer would be, no, I don't believe I could ask God to do anything that he would not be able to do. Do you believe you can ask whatever you want tonight? And God's going to answer, do it? Well, you can believe that if you meet the conditional promise, the condition within that promise that was made, if you are abiding in him and his words are abiding in you. If you're abiding in him, that means that you know who he is. If his words abide in you, you know how he wants you to live, and how he wants you to even pray, what things you ought to ask for and things you should not ask for. And so if you are abiding in him and his words abiding in you, you will not ask for the wrong things. If you ask for the wrong things, listen to me, you're not abiding in him and his word is not abiding in you. So that's a conditional promise. If you meet the conditions, then you can ask and God will give you. Unconditional. No matter what we do, God will do what He says. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you're in Christ, you have eternal life. Unconditional. Now, the condition, are you in Christ? Now, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you do not have that promise of everlasting life. But if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have an unconditional promise as a believer that you have everlasting life. You can't lose your salvation. Why? Because salvation has, what goes along with salvation is unconditional, everlasting life. The condition is believing and receiving. If you believe and then you receive, you have, that is conditional. And once you have received Christ, you have an unconditional promise. You have, from that moment forward, everlasting, eternal life. The question is, have you met the condition for salvation? If you've met the condition for salvation, then you have, and you can claim it, you have everlasting life. Yeah. Unconditional promise for those that have Christ as their Savior. Jesus gave that unconditional promise. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I love this because He knew that they were in need of this promise. Jesus knew that His disciples, and He knew that all believers throughout this church age would have need of this unconditional promise. If you're saved, you can claim this. Let not your heart be troubled. You suffering from some post-traumatic stress disorder? Or something close to that? They were going to be troubled because of His departure and what they would experience with His crucifixion. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Unconditional. If you're in Christ, He is preparing a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Unconditional. Covenant. Unconditional. If you are saved here tonight, listen to me. Not only do you have everlasting life, you can have this understanding that He is right now preparing a place for you for eternity. And you can also understand, no matter what you're going through here tonight in your own physical body and in this world that we live in, you have an unconditional promise that He is going to come back. And so this life is temporal. And what He has promised us is eternal. No matter what else is going on, if you'll just grab a hold of that, can I tell you that that can give you help in whatever kind of stress that you're under? Well, they needed to know that it was God's unconditional covenant. They needed to know who was included in this covenant. Is it just Noah? Or was Noah's wife going to be able to claim this too? Was it just Noah and his wife, or could his children claim this? Would they have it to pass down to their children, this unconditional covenant? They need to know who was included in this covenant. Verse 9. "And I, behold, I," God says again, you need to know who it is that's making it. It's Me, the Creator of all things, the One who has already destroyed the entire planet that you once lived on. "I establish My covenant with you and with your seed after you." Can I tell you, if we would trace our genealogies back, I don't know why everybody likes to do that. You know, that's something. I used to get phone calls and emails, and you pay this amount and we'll tell you all your ancestries. I don't need to know that. If you want to know that, go ahead, it's fine. But I know that eventually, if they go back far enough, it's going to go back to Noah. Amen. Where you went from there, who knows? Amen. But all of us, we have a seed linking back to Noah. Amen. My ancestors was in the ark. Amen. I have a seed. I'm related to the seed of Noah. Well, we find here they needed to know who was included in the covenant. And so God says, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Look down to verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Perpetual means it never stopped. From Noah, Old Testament had the same covenant. New Testament, church age, same covenant. A perpetual generation can know that God has given us this promise, unconditional covenant. Can know that we can pass this truth on down to our children and teach them to pass it down to their children. Covenant that God's made through Christ, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Unconditional. Whosoever. Amen. Anybody. Everybody. Unconditional. If you'll do it, no matter who you are, you can have the covenant with God of salvation. Yeah. They need to know who was included in this covenant. And then lastly, as we look here, they needed to have confirmation. They need to have confirmation in this covenant. So, verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow. I set my bow in the cloud. And that shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Verse 17. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So it's a continual covenant. It is one that is a perpetual to all the perpetual generations. And the confirmation that God says that you're going to have, that I'm going to give to you, which is a token of that which is from heaven, is a rainbow. A token or a sign from God that began in Noah's day and will continue till this earth is burned up and destroyed. The rainbow appears after the rain or the storm when rays of sunlight break through the clouds. There's something about that moisture in the air which they would not have had before the flood. The moisture come from underneath. So they would not have had that pre-flood. But God knew all along that He wanted to do something that would be a token. A token. Something used to indicate authenticity. I love God's language here. Something that God had already prepared and knew that He would use to help them to understand it is authentic. God is alive. And God is watching down from above. And God knows what's going on in our lives. And we have promises or covenants that God has made with humanity. And if God has made a conditional covenant with you as a human being, then as long as you meet those conditions, you can claim that promise or you can claim that covenant. If it's an unconditional covenant, then you don't have to do anything. You have it. It has been promised to you by an almighty God who cannot lie. Just enjoy it. Isn't that great? It's a token, a sign from God, a little taste of something glorious. I don't know about you, but when I see a rainbow, it does kind of catch your eye. And you look at it and you say, well, how majestic. Look at the beautiful color. Where did the colors come from? And there's something about looking at a rainbow, especially when you know where it came from, that will give you a peace. It's just relaxing. It's comforting just to look at a rainbow. No matter what kind of storm came before. Amen. No matter what kind of devastation the storm left behind. If you can see the rainbow, something comforting. It was a sign to promote remembrance. Verse 15, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you. Every living creature of the flesh and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Not only will God remember, but it's a sign, a token for us to know that God remembers. It's a token for us. It's a sign to promote remembrance, even for us today. Can I tell you that Noah and his family, put yourself there. What a traumatic experience. And God says, I know what they need. You need to know of a covenant that I'm going to make with you. You don't have to fear me destroying the planet anymore with a flood. You don't have to fear the judgment on this earth. There will be a final judgment. And we do need to remember that God is a just God who judges sin. But as long as you're looking to me, you can find comfort. You can find help. You can find support. A sign to promote remembrance that God did judge sin. There's no doubt he destroyed the world. How many people? Many believe there's possibly in the billions of people on the planet Earth. They had 1,700 years to reproduce, and they didn't die. My goodness. Humanity, they lived for 900 years or better. And they continue to have children, and their children continue to have children. And can you imagine the reproduction of the earth? But God judged them because of the direction and the choices that they made, the sin that they allowed to control their lives. Right before they were destroyed, the Bible says that there was evil continually. The imaginations of the mind were continually evil. They had no recollection of God, no desire to serve God. Wow. God did judge sin. See a rainbow, you can be comforted by it, but you remember that where it came from. Remember that God will judge sin. But he saved Noah by grace. Because of Noah's righteousness, because of Noah's family and having the desire to know God and to call upon God. It was by grace that God saved Noah and his family through the ark, which is a picture of the salvation through Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. We see God's grace. So when you look at that rainbow, remember why. God is a God of judgment, but God is a God of grace. If you're on the side of God's grace, if you're on the side, if you've received His grace, that ought to cause you to praise Him and be thankful for the grace of God. Because we all deserve judgment. Jesus paid our sin debt for us. It also promotes remembering that God has future plans. Final judgment is in God's future plans. Heaven and eternity are in God's future plans. A better place. A place where there's going to be no more pain and sorrow. No more sin. No more heartache. No more death. Amen. No more destruction. See that rainbow? He was telling Noah and his family, I know you're afraid. I know there's a lot of things going on in your life right now. I know that you're wondering how in the world we're going to go from here, what's going to happen. Just listen to me. Know that I'm making a covenant with you. I'm giving you some promises. There's going to be conditional and unconditional. As long as you meet the condition, claim them. If it's unconditional, just rejoice in it. Enjoy it. But know that I have a token put in the sky. And after the storm, when the sun rays come through the clouds mixed with the moisture, it'll be there until the end. Amen. It's still there today. So when you have an opportunity to see the rainbow and you understand why it's there, rejoice and receive the blessing of God through a token that He's given to all humanity in the rainbow. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.